Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I remember a long time ago when I was still living in Birmingham that something happened in my life that felt very negative. It didn't feel very good. And I felt pretty betrayed, and in the process felt betrayed by the Lord, because I thought he had created something and then he just sort of took it away. And it was really painful. And it was the first time I had a couple of roommates, but they were gone for the weekend, and for the first time in my life I hung out in the book of Job. I never felt led to spend time in the book of Job before then, but it seemed very familiar as I read the book of Job. And if you know anything about the book of Job, it says that Job was the most righteous man on the earth, and yet Satan obtained permission, like he did with Peter, to sift him like wheat. And what basically Satan said to God was, look, if you'll just let me touch stuff in his life, he'll deny you. He said, but the only thing I'm not going to touch is his wife. I'm going to leave his wife. And of course, the wife is the one who looked at Job and said, you just need to curse God and die. That was not, God wasn't doing him a favor by leaving the wife with him. And as you go through the story of Job, Job begins to just question, like, what happened? Why did I deserve this? Why would God let me go through something so painful? And there were three men that ministered to him, and a couple of them just heaped condemnation on him. They just tell him, obviously it's because you're imperfect, because you did something wrong, it's all your fault. You know, didn't help the situation at all. And in the process, Job just kept trying to move through guilt and trying to defend himself, upset with the Lord. Lord, why would you let this happen to me? Why would you let me go through all this? And then finally, Elihu, which kind of represents the Holy Spirit, came and spoke to him. And Elihu just began to talk to him about God and began to question him, instead of accusing him, saying, this is somehow your fault. Anytime something goes wrong in our life, or we get betrayed or hurt or rejected, one of the things the enemy does is tells us somehow this is all our fault, you know, we did this. But Elihu just basically began to talk to him about God and just remind him of who God is, and then question Job about, you know, you really don't have a right to be angry at God. Your attitude's not good, and you're seeing things wrong. And so he began to speak to him, and then God began to speak to him. And God began to show him all these kind of things. He began to ask Job, because Job had been questioning God, what God had done. And he began to show Job certain things like the stars and lightning and rainbows and waterfalls and oceans, all these beautiful things. And he was asking Job, like, now, Job, were you there when I created that? Do you remember me calling on you and getting your advice on how to do those things? All this beautiful stuff. And then he began to show Job some other things that weren't so beautiful, but still were under God's creativity, like crocodiles and Leviathan and all these creatures. And he said, were you there when I created these things? You weren't there when I created the waterfalls. You weren't there when I did that. I didn't get your advice then. And goes on and on. And when you get to Job 42... what you realize is that Job got it. He understood what was going on. And he says, because here's a big debate today, not debate, but one of the big discussions today, there's no debate in the body of Christ, is God good? And I never knew that was a question. Of course God's good. Part of the problem that we have today in the body of Christ, though, we try to narrow this down, and from a human perspective, through our little brains, going, this is the only way God is good if he does this. And so anything that doesn't look like this can't be God, because it doesn't feel good, doesn't look good, doesn't seem good. And I understand the point, but we really miss something significant. about God. No matter what happens, God's good. That, no, nothing changes that. The great scripture in Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good. Doesn't say he causes all things. But what it does say is that goodness prevails. Even when the enemy's involved, the goodness of God does prevail. Now, this Job 42, I want you to hear this. This is really important. In terms of the ways of God and a maturing believer. Then Job, because we have to understand what Job went through. Job went through all this loss and all the pain and the embarrassment. If you remember, it said about Job that whenever he would walk down the street, people would move away and show him respect, bow to him. But after he lost everything and he was covered with all these boils and sores, then he'd walk down the street and people would spit at him and call him names. So he was humiliating. What he went through wasn't just personally painful because he lost all these relationships. He was also humiliated. It was embarrassing what he was going through. This says in verse 1 of chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord, and he says, I know that you can do all things. That's a good thing to know. Now, if you do know that, then you got to come to grips with some other stuff. If you can do all things, why does some things happen and don't happen? But it does say that. I know that you can do all things and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. Wow. Now, I don't know what else you do with theology and what people are saying today, but you better put this one in your theological pipe and smoke it because that's in the Word. That no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I do not understand. He said, I have griped and complained and questioned you about things I do not understand. And that's what he says. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. That's crazy. That somehow in the midst of all that was going on, that didn't feel wonderful, that looked terrible, the enemy was involved. He had to get permission, but he was still involved. And yet he says, but God is up to something wonderful here. See, that's the goodness of God. He said, I've complained about things too wonderful for me to understand. Why do you have me in this job? Why am I in this relationship? Why did this relationship end? Why is this going on? Why is the bank account? What is this? What? Hear now, and I will speak, and I will ask you, and now you instruct me. In other words, Job said, I'm tired of telling you what was right and wrong. It's time for you to instruct me. Now hear what he says. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now the eyes of my spirit see you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to the two guys, Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you. They're the ones who put condemnation on Job. And against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken of me what's right. I'm not a condemner. I didn't do this to condemn Job. It wasn't about punishment. It wasn't because he did something wrong. Are y'all hearing me? That's the accuser of the brethren. Wasn't because you did something wrong. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Gave him everything back, but twofold. Now here's the thing. What happened? Job says, Lord, I've complained about things too wonderful for me to understand. I used to see you with the seeing of, hear you with the hearing of my ears, but now the eyes of my spirit see you. In other words, Job said, I could always see your goodness when it all felt good and seemed good. But now I realize that even when things don't go good, when it's really painful, that you're still wonderful and that your purposes are not being thwarted. You're hearing me? That's a plural place of graduation spiritually. It's one thing to bless the Lord and to praise God when everything's going right, when the check comes in, when all the stuff works out. But what about when everything's going wrong or seems to be? Can you look through all that and see a good God who's wonderful and who's up to some wonderful things and that his purposes are not being thwarted? Because if you can do that, then you're seeing God with the eyes of your spirit. You're not just hearing what you can hear. It's obvious. You're able to see God with the eyes of your spirit. And when that happens, and you can trust him and praise him, when everything hurts and doesn't make sense because you believe he's up to something wonderful, even if it doesn't feel wonderful, then God will bless you twofold. The enemy won't win. He'll give back whatever it is you lost, but he'll give it back twofold. Double blessing, double anointing. That's a promise from God. Isn't that a good word? Lord, take your word, seal it in our hearts, cause us to grow. Cause the eyes of our spirit to see you and all the wonderful things that you're up to, even when we can't understand it, even when it feels really bad. Lord, we believe that your purposes, which are wonderful, full of kind intentions, cannot be thwarted. And that if you've taken something from us, or if you've allowed something to be taken from us, it's because you intend to do something twice as good. If we'll just trust you. We bless you, Lord. Amen.